I'm gonna give her your rapper name.
Give her yours.
No, you give yours first.
Do y'all freestyle at each other like when y'all are at home?
All the time. Listen.
Y'all be have y'all ever battled?
My nickname is Tourette's.
And I'm bipolar.
Nice.
Okay, go.
Drip, drip, drip. Drip.
You think you can defeat us with the tip of your penis. We walk around bleeding, so baby, just lean in.
Yeah, drip, 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 drip.
Got the power in my womb, make these alphas want to swoon. But boy, I know better. I ain't fucking with your dick cheese cheddar.
Hey, there you go.
I ain't fucking with no dick cheese cheddar.
There you go. That, right?
Listen, I'm already on my period. Do not make me laugh.
I'm dead.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda.
Miranda!
Today on the podcast, we are joined by someone who, I mean, you've probably heard her in your ears.
In your ear holes. But someone that I admire, someone that brings back classic female hip hop in a way that I grew up with. Someone that is funny, part of the family, and
authentic represents
that part, and the swag is stupid.
Oh my god!
You guys, give it up for Snowda Product.
She here.
Yo, thank you.
Good job.
Wow, thank you for that intro. That's insane. Nice. I didn't even know you knew who I was.
You're my swag spirit animal.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
I grew up with Queen. I grew up with Brad. I grew up with rock rough and stuff with my Afro Puffs. Rage, Lady of Rage.
Period.
And I bring up those women because there was a switch in female hip hop at some point. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, obviously the bars are stupid, but I'm talking about visually and mm-hmm. swag. And I think that you make me happy to watch you because I dress like you. You remind me of me, but it's still feminine, but it's still masculine. And it's kind of blurring that line. And I just want to be like, thank you.
Oh my God, thank you. And thank you, first of all. I was thinking about that, how, like, when our parents work a lot and, like, and then they also, like, are going through things, so then they're always out and, like, you're always alone at home. Like, watching you grow up, like, auntie, like, you kept me company. You feel me? Like, aww. That's all I fucking watch. So to me, I'm like, it's fucking surreal to be here because it's like, yeah, like,
thank you.
You know what I'm saying? For giving us something to fucking like watch and relate to and enjoy. So thank you. And thank you for that intro as well. And you're right. Music and rap and what has been pushed to people has definitely changed. And I don't know why it happened or when it happened, but it would be nice to see more support for maybe women that are blurring that line of like the masculine, the feminine, like topics, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Well done.
Thank you for being here. I want to know some stuff about your name. Mm-hmm. So Disney came after you, right? Because originally...
I can't apologize.
It's not Raven's fault.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
What's the story there?
No, it was just... I mean, you're not allowed to use anything at all related to anything similar to their stuff. And even though they, you know, jacked the story, apparently you can't come... You know, you can. I could have fought that, but I was broke in a one-bedroom apartment, just like, you know, whatever. So I was like, all right, whatever. Snow. At the end of the day, it wasn't so much about the Snow White part. It was about the product part. So I didn't really...
What was your draw, though, to Snow White? Was there one?
It's really weird because there wasn't. And now that I'm living my life and I, like, live with a bunch of guys and I have a farm and I have animals and I talk to the damn squirrels and the birds and stuff, I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like, I'm like, what the...
White.
Yeah, like, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. But, no, honestly, there was nothing, really. At all about it, like, and then there was, which is weird.
Yeah.
So it's almost like Snow White was really just like a little bit because of the, you know, pale skin, dark hair at that time was kind of what I looked like, and I don't know, it was, I don't fucking
so
know.
Being,
half of my life has been shit. I don't know.
You're Snow White. You're fair. You're dark hair. You have animals. Have you named your animals?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. My goats are Drake, Raisin, Milk Dud, and Bambi, and then my chickens. Well, my chickens know they're. I have a bunch of chickens. Only one of them has a name. Her name's Elvis. Other than that, all of them don't. Because initially, when I did get chickens, they did have names, and then when they die, it's really sad.
Yeah.
So now I kind of just, they all kind of, you know.
Did they die, or did you have chicken piccata?
Coyote.
Oh, a coyote. Got
it. It's always the fucking coyotes, man.
Yeah. Coyote.
Oh, yeah, we had a friend.
One of my dogs, my cocker spaniel, he got out and he's a murderer.
And, he ate some of your chickens?
Yeah. Delicious. I was on tour and like he got out and apparently Cocker Spaniels are like really big chicken killers.
Eaters? Oh, wow.
That's well, everything. He's just like a hunter, which I thought he was just a cute dog. But to be honest, he's not even my dog. Like he was my ex's dog and now he lives there and he's toxic and I don't know what to do. But he's a very cute dog. I know. Oh, imagine. I have to look at his face every day and be like,
yeah, and you know what he's done. Kid. Sometimes the most toxic things come in cute packages.
Usually.
To be like,
I take offense to that.
She's a cute package.
I take offense to it.
She's a cute package. Where are you from originally?
San Jose, originally. I'm Mexican. My parents are in Mexico. And yeah, I moved everywhere, though. I lived in the Valley. I lived in San Diego. I never lived in L.A. till my adult years. Mm. So usually it was San Diego, the Valley, San Jose and Mexico.
So now that you're here in LA compared to San Diego, rate it.
Oh.
Rate it 1 through 10.
Dang. You want all of LA to hate me?
Yes.
No.
Or all of San Diego to hate you.
I will say I never appreciated San Diego as much as I do now. I think back then I was so stuck in whatever I was going through at the moment that I didn't realize how beautiful it is and, you know, how lucky I was to be able to go to La Jolla and just be in the beach and, you know, whatever, like, and I like a cold beach, so to me it's like being able to do bonfires and stuff, like it was dope and I didn't appreciate it, but you know, whatever. And then LA, I like it, you know. I feel like when people say that LA's so fake and it's like so weird, I'm like, do you have any like normal friends, you know, like do you ever go to the Valley, do you ever go just eat a elote somewhere else on the street or something, like, you know, there's a beautiful culture in LA and I think people just forget about it because they're too busy hanging out, like, I don't know, and trying to be in the industry.
I agree with that. I'm born and raised in LA and I think that the people that say that and the people that experience those types of people are not, they're transplants. They're people that don't live here or are not from here originally. And therefore, people move here for the wrong reasons. They move here, I think, to chase the dream and to be in the industry. And then those people are all competitive and weird and whatever. But those of us who are born and raised here, different vibe, different kind of person.
Yeah, because I'm obviously a transplant and LA is weird. I don't know. Back when I was out here when I was 15 years old and like living out, like having fun and being in the streets or whatever, it was a different group of humans. And the humans have changed over the years. And obviously I changed too because I'm a 40-year-old bitch. But like... At the same time, it's just like it feels different. Babes, you wouldn't say that LA changed?
LA for sure has changed, but I'm saying that the people that give it the shitty reputation are not the people that I've experienced that are born and raised here. It's the people that move here, that are chasing something.
It's the toxic in little packages.
Exactly, who then decide to hate on it. But I'm like, yo, the way that I grew up and how I grew up and with the people that I grew up with, it was good. Like, it was good people. It was a good neighborhood. Like, it wasn't everyone just industry chasing and clout chasing and blah, blah, blah.
Which, to be fair, the people who move here with that intention. So they're going to be around that type. I mean, you are what you attract, right? Or, like, you know, you attract what you are. Like, if you're looking for that, then that's the type of people you're going to find. I've found those type of people, and I just tend to stay away. I mean, does that mean your clout suffers for it? Sure. But at the same time, your mental health just feels better to be around normal people.
1,000%.
You know? Without a doubt. I felt like my mental health was crafted in school. Like, I was in Atlanta growing up, and I went to public school, and I wasn't very good at math. I actually failed math and had to go to summer school for it. And I wasn't actually able to do any type of sports because I was always on tour. So did you go to school here in California?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to school in California, multiple different places and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I always bounced around schools.
Because of family or?
Everything. I think being neurodivergent and not understanding what that means when we were growing up and like my family just not understanding them. They didn't believe in depression or anxiety or any of that type of stuff, which is weird that they kind of didn't when it's like my mom clearly had a lot of things going on. But I think they just... We're a very, like, no-excuses culture, so it's kind of like, whatever's going on with you, it must be you. So you just kind of bounce around, and, you know, my aunt took me in, and then I lived here, I lived there, I just kind of was everywhere. They sent me to Mexico, like, I was just hyper, and probably my mom and my dad were dealing with their own shit, so they were like, you know, girl, wherever the hell you're happy, little did they know, like, I needed structure. I didn't need to just go wherever I was going to be happy. It was like... I needed some sort of structure and I was just bouncing around. But I guess it made me like be kind of a little bit of like happy just traveling and being everywhere. So
how did you find out that you are neurodivergent?
Definitely getting diagnosed, therapy, the doctor. I had ADHD, so they tried to put me on medicine, but I don't like it. So just, you know, non-medicated neurodivergent person out here.
But we had a conversation in the kitchen, my wife and I, about this, about some cultures and how mental neurodivergency or bipolar or depression in certain cultures really just gets overlooked because they don't have the privilege to be able to stop and be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's more in the culture of, no, we got to get going. People out here trying to get us, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And we have this conversation a lot, my wife and I, because she had the privilege to be able to go to therapy at a younger age and understand and have the slower paced life.
Yeah.
And I was always working and figuring stuff out. And that's just not the culture. Do you find that to be true? I know you kind of said yes to that anyway, but why do you think that is in your mindset?
I think, like I said about, like, the stuff with my parents specifically, like, because my mom is diagnosed and, like, she does have her own thing, they did have an understanding. I think they just thought that, like, you're a teenager, what could you possibly have wrong? It's not like they didn't know it existed. It was just kind of like, you don't have bills, you don't have all these problems. We grew up in Mexico, we really had problems. What could you possibly want? We're in America, the greatest place in the world, you know? So I think it was kind of that, of like, what could possibly be wrong with you if you have a roof over your head? And our roof was tin, you know? So it's kind of that. I did, once my parents were getting a divorce, I did get some therapy from, like, a counselor, like school counselor and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was cool, it was helpful. I think I kind of was between those two things of, like, sometimes knowing what I can do to improve and sometimes being like, I don't have anything to complain about. How could I possibly complain if my life is better than my parents? So you actually end up growing up with guilt and shame that how dare you complain if they had it so much worse. And you grow up hearing all their stories and you're like, yeah, that was really bad. That's also abuse, you know, like,
exactly.
You're like, they're like, you know, we used to get beat with, you know, rods. And you're like, that's crazy. Like, that shouldn't be normalized either. Like, you need therapy.
Exactly. Yes.
So I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I think that's how we get this guilt. As first generation Americans, sometimes we grow up with shame and guilt of like we shouldn't complain.
I was listening to somebody talk about abuse, and they, similar to what you were saying, their parent was abusive towards them, and they were sharing their story, and the parent rebutted with, you grew up in a $1 million home. Like, you were so privileged. You had this. I did everything for you. And the daughter's response was, abuse can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. Just because you're in a $1 million home doesn't mean that you cannot not be abused. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that actually mean? That meant, like, more staircases for you to throw me down. It meant more doors for you to slam in my face. It meant
heavier doors, probably.
Sheesh. Yeah. And it was like, and I think that that's such a toxic manipulation of someone's experience when you start comparing and you start saying, like, you can't have problems because of this, that, or the other. Like, I've experienced just even sometimes sharing things that have happened to me, which is, Those are things that have defined me, impacted me, created trauma for me. But all of a sudden it becomes, well, you were a person who had privilege, so therefore it doesn't matter. I mean, that in and of itself just re-traumatizes you in a way, because, like you're saying, then you are layered with guilt and shame and like, oh, I guess I shouldn't be feeling this way.
Yeah.
But the truth is you do feel that way. And
because it's your experience.
Valid, and that is exactly. It's like we all are entitled to our experiences and relating to them however we do and moving through them in whatever way we can.
I take those experiences superhero points. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, do you take your neurodivergency and whatever else you got going on and put it on paper with a pen?
I try to tell, like, my crew or, like, the people that are around me, and even when I got with my girl, like, explain, like, you just got to know how my brain works. If we work with how my brain works and then I work with how y'all's brain works, then we're going to be doing the best, you know, work we can do. Mm-hmm. If we try to, like, put me into a box that I just don't fit in, that's actually probably what has led to most of my depression and most of any shortcomings that I've had, is when people try to put me into a box I wasn't made for. You know, mm-hmm. To me, it's like, I have great ideas. I have all these great things about me. Do I fall short on organization or, like, sometimes being able to write things down or whatever? Like, yeah, you know, so it's like just knowing where I need help and knowing where my partner needs help or with whoever. And now, you know, I have friends or I know people that maybe their kids are neurodivergent, and I'm telling them, like, it is a superpower if you figure out what they're really good at, you know? Mm-hmm. There's some people that are really good at math. Like, okay, cool. Like, focus on that. There's some people that, you know, they suck at everything else, but they, like, are amazing at, you know, music. Okay, cool. Keep them happy in that, you know? I think everybody has their own thing. And our job, and, you know, I'm a parent, so, like, our job as a parent is to find that, you know? With my kid, I'm having trouble, but it's because he's so, you know, it's like he gets in his own way because he's smart. He's a little too smart, a little too slick, and a little too cute and charismatic. So I'm like, you think you got it all figured out? Yeah. I'm like, he's 15. He's adorable. And it's just like, he just thinks everything comes easy. And I'm trying to explain it to him. And it just becomes this whole thing. But, you know, I mean, I was 15 and I'm sure I thought I knew everything, too. So I think just trying to work with how our brains work is the best thing, you know?
I feel like that's the only thing, and more people should be open to that, because like you said, I think, you know, people try and just put everyone in the same box instead of seeing that we're all these different shapes and sizes that all need to be able to fit in our own lanes, and that makes us more productive. I hate hearing these stories about just classrooms and how, you know, boys are forced to sit down. I remember hearing this thing about boys who couldn't sit still, and everyone was just like, well, they need medication. And it's like, no, instead of thinking that we just need to medicate and that's the first solution, why not think about creative ways to let them, like, move their bodies because they're just filled with energy while they're also learning? You know, like, a lot of people don't seem to have the ability or desire to think anywhere outside of what is exactly presented before them as how you're supposed to do something.
Can I jump in there? There was a really cool picture that I saw on Instagram years ago, and it was a classroom, and all of the students in the classroom, there was an elephant, there was a horse, there was a monkey, there was a fish in a bowl, and there was like two other animals, very different, right? And then the teacher's like, all right, here's the test. It's to climb the tree. And the fish is like, how am I supposed to succeed in this? You know, and it's a detriment to society to not have a structure that works with everybody's abilities instead of making sure that everybody follows the same route.
Yeah.
And that's something that I actually admire you for, is that you've ventured into many different areas of talent, of your talent. You had a stint on Queen of the South. How was that for you?
It was cool. I mean, I've never really acted before. I've said this before. I felt like I lied on my resume and I just kind of ended up there. And I'm like, oh, shoot.
Which
I didn't lie. I mean, I did have to do a tape or whatever and I sent it in. But I just didn't know anything about, like, what I was going to do, you know? So, like, when I did it, I was like, oh, shoot. Like, it was supposed to be, like, an episode or two. And then it, like, ended up being more. And then it ended up being two seasons. And I was like, boom. I was like, okay, cool. I like this. I'm like, but I was so scared. Like, the whole time I was like, man, I must suck. Like, I didn't want to look like that rapper that shows up to a show. And, like, you know, like, it was just the rapper playing the rapper. So I was like, all right, let me, like, really. I liked it. I feel like I wish maybe I want to do more of that. I just probably should be more prepared because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
You know what it sounds
like? It was fun, though.
It sounds like you were really leaning into some delusion.
Oh,
and you're just believing that you were
just believed it all the way there.
You were like, I can just do this.
You gotta have the delusion sometimes.
We were saying this earlier for those of you who weren't here before the cameras came up.
all of you, really?
Yeah, that would be all of you. That we think that the best way to live life is how Jennifer Lopez does, which is in total delusion. I love J-Lo. Uh-huh. Don't get it twisted. I love her, and I think that she is thriving.
Yeah.
The box office might not be, but oh my she God. Is.
Have you seen it?
No. I mean, listen, I feel like, you know, she's definitely someone to watch and be like, damn. Like, you have everything. You feel me? Like, you have everything. You've been beautiful your whole life. Body, everything, money, like, every relationship you've ever wanted, you're in it. You got the rings. You got the money. You got everything.
She got the and house, but still, she's never been loved, Snow.
And no, she's never she's loved never herself.
Been, she's what I said,
she's
Snow.
Never been loved. No, she's been loved. That's what I said, think Snow. When you, there's this insatiable feeling when there's something in you. And look, and I'll say this. Sometimes there's a piece of me that understands that, mm-hmm. where it's like, when you have, let's say, a mommy issue or something, like when you have something that you haven't been able to like solve and
heal,
the only way you can actually do it is just be delusional about it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you're not going to do it. Like sometimes people, like once their parents pass away or something, they're like, well, she would have wanted this or she would have wanted that. I'm like, I know what my mom wants. My mom wants me to be straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like there's nothing
that
I can.
My mom too.
Yeah.
My mom wants me to be straight too.
You know, so it's like there's certain things, and I don't know J-Lo's situation, but it's like there's certain things that when our parents, like when they will, how we grew up, what we wish it was like, what, you know, what we've been told, the little voices that become our self-conscious when we heard that, like all those little things, like that shit fucks you up, you know? So you can have everything you ever wanted and not be happy. That's probably why I'm not even as greedy as maybe like I could be, or like go out there and wish I had made $1 billion. Like I've never had that wish, because I know it's not gonna make me happy. I'm like, I know the things that like make me happy don't even exist in that. So I get it. Like, I feel bad for like for that, you know, she has to get dragged and shit. But I do think that she should sit there with real people. I think she needs to hang out with real. She needs to be Jenny from the block for real.
I was about like, to say, she needs to go back to the block.
To the Bronx.
You feel me? Go really hang out with some real motherfuckers. Imagine.
Go back to that man
shit.
Who wouldn't let you back in your childhood home. And he actually knew it. Remember?
Yeah.
Oh,
go back to yeah. Go talk to
imagine
him.
Though if Jennifer Lopez's situation was that her mom wanted her to be gay. Like, that was her situation. Can you imagine? And then like once Lupe dies,
I wanted her to be gay, like, in that movie when she
enough?
Was the
babes, you're obsessed with enough.
She was kind of giving gay a little bit, but
the hair was giving gay.
Yeah, I kind of want her to be gay. That'd be dope.
You
J-Lo was fantastic. Just coming out with a fucking bomb ass like dude.
Oof.
Let's J-Lo might. She kind of got the little bone strip. We can know the lesbian face. You know,
oh,
I feel like
it's there.
And maybe she's gay. Oh, maybe she's not. Sorry, I don't want to out her.
Maybe
but I'm just saying,
she's open and fluid.
I would maybe live for it. I would.
Where are you going?
If
gay
Jennifer
era?
Lopez was like, no, I'm not going anywhere. Mm. I would just be so proud of her. I'd be like, yes, girl.
I would never see my
like,
wife again.
Do it, girl.
Stop it. Get it.
I know so many people that would be here for you know, but then at the same time, being queer and being like, okay, we're tired of the performative shit. You know, at the same time, it's like, I don't fucking know. Whatever the hell she wants to do. I definitely wouldn't love another performative lesbian in the world, but
maybe she could just be bi. We do need more bi people off of Jack. Okay, so you open the door. I'm going to talk about it. I love being gay. congratulations on getting married.
I'm dead.
You're married.
When does this drop? So I can get ahead of it. No.
Wait, you're married?
I'm dead.
We're married too.
We're married.
Yes.
No,
about it?
No, yeah.
Wait, this is marriage number two, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I like it. What are you doing differently immediately during the second marriage?
It's a woman.
Period. Start there.
Everything is
start
different.
There. No, it's all different. I'm in a way better place, like mentally, everything. And by the way, no jabs or shots at like my first marriage, which was with a man. And there was no, I know that men love to go with the thing of like, she must have been left, or he must have treated her like he must have cheated. That's why now she's gay. It's like, no, he was a great guy to me during that era of my life. That was my partner, and I was 19. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a completely different life that I lived. We have a son together. We lived the whole... I think it took me getting the marriage and the picket fence and the house and the everything that I ever... that my mom said, this is what makes a happy woman, for me to realize, like, yo, but still, like...
Something's up.
Something's missing.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had never even had an experience with a woman. I had never even, like, kissed a girl, nothing. Like, I'm a late...
You never thought about it either.
No.
I think I had thought about it,
but, like, I had a lot of friends that did, and they were, like, fully straight, and to this day still are straight. So I just think that women... It's a little different for girls, because everybody's just kind of done those little, like, you know, girls will be like, yeah, she's fine. Like, oh my God, I would kiss her. And
girl
then
crush.
They kiss. Yeah. So you're like, okay, cool. Like, girl crush, I guess that's what it is. I'm like, but then it starts to get different when your girl crush is like, somebody touches you and you're like, oh my God. Then you're like, oh, I don't think this is just a girl crush. Like, I think I might. And so I had to, have that conversation and be like, you know how you're going to start dating? I'm going to start dating. Here's a big news. I'm gonna date women too. He thought it was hot. He was like,
fair.
Hell yeah, like date women. Like, I would love that. But I'm like, no, you're not involved.
Right? Don't you always think you're involved, sirs? Don't
you? And then there you go. You know, I start dating. life kicks my ass. I realize being gay is way harder than being straight. And
please tell why. Please give us your details if you don't mind, because I can give you mine.
Yes, well, your family. Let's share details.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard. Dating a woman, not only in my personal experience, like with women and figuring myself out, them figuring themselves out, everything that goes on with that, my career, you know, what it means in my family and acceptance with my fans. Like, I lost fans. People started thinking I'm part of the gay propaganda, that apparently I'm paid to, like, turn kids gay or something.
Hey, did you ruin people's childhoods too? Because I got that. I ruined so many people's childhoods because of my own personal makeup. I'm really sorry for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's people that are like, I used to listen to you. Now I'm not going to listen to you, you know, like, because my kids, what are they going to listen to? And then I go and look at what they listen to, and I'm like, you're listening to things about rapping and killing and murdering and stealing. Like,
and some of the girls that are rappers out here, we won't name names, but performative lesbian visuals.
Oh,
just for
that's
kicks.
That's always allowed.
It's always allowed, but you can't actually be one.
Yeah.
That's crazy to
me. It's like, it's fine if two girls have the biggest record in the world where they get to make out and be performative lesbians and go on all the award shows, make out, and then go home to their boyfriends and husbands, mm-hmm. but we get canceled for it. Or we, even worse, get physically assaulted or get, like, you know, what's it called? Threatened on the street. You know what I'm saying? Because that's happened before where you're just, like, scared. And it's like, I got to have the bad parts of being gay, but, like, you bitches get all the clout for it.
Yeah. I understand.
Do you feel like in the Mexican culture, lesbians get it easier?
No. What do you mean?
I don't know. Let me just get it easier.
Like,
this is an interesting thing because I talked about this a little while ago. Yeah, Raven brought this up. And
I dated a fresa a long
time ago.
A different...
Okay, period.
It was a different... A little strawberry. It was a different point of view. It was a different point of view than I had ever experienced or heard of, because I felt like the majority of people I know within the Mexican community are very religious, and being gay is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And so when you said that lesbians got it easier, I think you meant than gay men.
No.
Because of the machismos.
No, what I was actually saying was during my time while dating a fresa.
During your stint?
During my stint of dating a fresa, I witnessed in the culture that being a lesbian, butch, femme, it wasn't as toxic outwardly as it was if you are a black lesbian. It's like, rather than the boys being extremely feminine, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was around a lot of different kinds of lesbians, and it wasn't as outwardly abusive.
Is she from the city?
I signed an NDA. I don't talk about it.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, it's like there's a difference between city people that, like, for example, you go to Mexico City, there's even people that joke about it, like, arriba las lesbianas, you know, like, it's a thing. Whereas when you're from more, like, rural parts or, like, more, like, poor, like, more smaller towns, mm-hmm. it's a completely different thing.
Okay, so, yes, know? Big city.
Yeah, so big city is, like, yeah, I think in Mexico City, you know, they have an amazing culture where they're a little bit more open. It's, you know, but some of those really religious places come from a lot of, like, really poorer neighborhoods, like smaller mm-hmm. towns. You know, the place where I'm from, there's one main road and there's just dirt roads. So it's like those people,
when I
go over there, yeah, they have their comments. I mean, at this point, they're more accepting. You know, I think overall everything's kind of turning around a little bit, but it has been a rough path. Yes, I think as far as like trans or men being queer, I think it's maybe a little easier for women, but by no means is it absolutely, you know, easy. I dated a woman that was also kind of, you know, and she was in the closet the entire time. Like, it was a private, it was a closeted relationship. And, like, she was like, I'm never going to come out because my family and religion and everybody will never accept it. Yeah. So after 3.5 years, I dipped. Yeah. And then the person's blaming me, like, how dare you leave me because I won't come out? And I'm like, 3.5 years of being in the closet is insane.
That's delusional.
That is
like, you think that this is going to continue.
There you go. We live in delusion. On. But that is true, I think, of many different communities. Yeah. Because I dated somebody who was Armenian, and that was the same. She could not tell anyone. It was a closeted relationship. And her fear of being disowned by her family was terrible. Immense. It was immense, you know, and just to even have to see her struggle through that. I just have such a different, I don't know. I just am like, It just pains me so much that people are so persecuted against because of the people that they love. You know, it just is like the people we, if I love this person, it shouldn't create so much hate.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It's weird when the dad, when it's like a dad that's like, no, I'd rather you go out here and like fuck these dudes. It's like really like a woman, like, don't you like women? Like, what is the problem? Especially I think for lesbians, like sometimes guys will be like, I can't believe, why wouldn't you want a man? I'm like, damn, do you want the man? Like, why are you thinking so highly of the damn man? Like, I like women probably for the same reason you like women. The only difference is... if you're a titty, if you're a titty person.
I didn't say that. Period. I was just thinking outside.
She can't say that she's a titty person because
there's enough there.
I'm kidding.
So my question is this. You're like, we're enough. I like it. Okay, so I've always wanted to ask this. You started out straight and then you were like, nah, I'm a lesbian.
I'm dead.
So now what kind of lesbian are you? Where you sit on the roster of lesbianicness.
Okay.
It got blurry there for a second in the middle because I was just like, you know, like I didn't want to invalidate what I had been through because it's not like again, I don't ever want, even like with tattoos, like I don't really want to cover up any, like it's like it is what it is. My experience is my experience. You're growing through it. Yeah. I mean, I'm where I am in the lesbian, I'm happily married to a woman. I plan on being with a woman for the rest of my life. I'm, you know, a lesbian.
Yeah, like, but are you a top though?
You're like, that is the question.
What I'm asking is,
will you put the strap on?
Do you shoot the strap?
Yeah, am I the top? Yes.
Okay,
I am the top.
I just wanted to know. Sorry.
Yes. Raven's like, okay, you want to pound it out? So you got that in common?
Right. Whoa. I'm not pounding shit out. Hey, we're just
what about you?
Pound, how you fit? Just pound it.
Oh, that pounded. Okay, all right. Calm down.
Whoa. What's going on?
Not the tips. No, you know what? I too dated men. And I found myself, like, their best
friend.
We've all dated men. Mm-hmm. You're the only one who got married to one. We didn't marry any. But it's fair. I remember being in those relationships and they really loving me, but not fully understanding half the shit that was coming out of my mouth. Because I was in straight relationships. I'd be like, you can cheat on me with girls.
Oh.
But you only get, like, three. And they're like, why? Why?
Raymond, and I'm three cheats.
Because I said you're a man, it's going to happen, and I'd rather you say that you have a card to go. But in my head, the reason I was saying that, because I didn't really give a fuck.
Right.
Because when they would come home, I'd be like, so how was it?
Right.
I was kind
of like,
don't
spare any details.
I'm gonna know everything.
I agree with you, because I think, like, sometimes when I give advice, like, to women, it's like, they're going through all this, and they're, like, dragging themselves over a man, and I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, to them... getting married or like something is so like hard, and I'm just like, act like you don't care about them that much. Like, literally, that's what it is. Like, when you like the power that when women don't realize they're gay have over men is that, like, we're just as like detached as you are.
Yes.
So emotionally it's not all the way there, whereas like I didn't know that until I got out of a relationship with a man and was fucking dying over a woman. Then I was like, oh my god, like, this gets deep. But I didn't realize that, because that's all I knew up until that point. So I agree with you that it's like, I don't know, man, you straight girls, you know, just maybe have a best friend that's a lesbian and will tell you kind of like the actions. And yeah, these dudes, I've never had trouble getting a guy because I don't care about him.
Right?
I love that.
I'm so bold. I was so bold with men, but me talking to a girl.
So shy.
What do you call me?
Shy guy.
I am I'm like this.
She becomes.
Me too.
Yeah, this.
I'm so shy, but then I'm also,
and
like,
it's so,
yo,
cute.
Go sit down. Like, I'm having it's a small package, small toxic packages.
Why do you keep calling her toxic? What's toxic about
her? Toxic ass bitch.
You are? Man, what sign are you?
Well, Sag, what are you?
Cancer.
I'm messing with you. I'm not that kind of lesbian.
I love Cancer. Do you know that every person I have ever dated, male or female, except Raven, has been a Cancer?
Oh, wow.
Good thing.
What sign are you?
I'm a Leo.
Jesus Christ. Of course they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nah. What?
Like, what's your wife?
She's a Scorpio.
Ooh.
Cancer is Scorpio.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah. Craziness. How does your son feel about this part of you now? How did he take it?
I had to have the conversation with him, when he was old enough to understand it, and when I was getting into an actual relationship with a woman, which was a while back. I was in a long-term relationship, and the conversation just because I didn't want him to be confused, but I also was like, you know, I made it about, like, you know, love and, like, finding your, you know, and you're allowed to date whoever. Because I also had to have the conversation with him about, like, what he was going to end up being, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I was just like, hey, you know, whoever you love, you're allowed to love. And so he grew up just kind of knowing that. I think he doesn't care. He's kind of a nonchalant guy, I guess he tries to be. But he just...
You raised him well then?
Yeah.
We'll say it for you. Yeah. You'd be like, yeah, I raised him well.
Yeah, I think when it comes to that, you know, like, I think he just kind of is like, whatever, like, gay. I think these younger kids, they get it, you know?
They're just something's like, different.
Yeah.
They don't care about gender expression. They don't care about sexuality. It's like the open field. It's a spectrum. They don't have any boundaries.
And some of their favorite rappers are, like, are gay-coded. Like, there's some very big rappers right now that the way they dress, the way they act, the way they do, the way they joke, you're like, okay. So everyone's accepting of this. Mm-hmm. And you're like, period.
That was not accepted in my childhood.
They're real woke.
Did you create that?
But no, I did. I will not take credit for that as much as I had a clothing line in 2010 called Woke, and that's way long ago. And then what it has become now, I'm like, wow, this is crazy. When you can see the Google Trends of like how it happened, who would have fucking thought and who would have known? But at the end of the day, like I'm a firm believer of like, you just kind of download from, like, the universe, like, whatever the fuck you're living, you're just kind of, like, getting. And I got this idea. I was like, okay, let's wake everybody up, wake your game up. Like, that was my website. That's where I was doing things. We were all woke. So many of my fans have tattoos. We had the clothing. We had everything. Like, we were really, like, trying to be. But to me, it was a different definition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't until the internet really is, like, bringing it up that I'm like, oh, shit, this has several definitions. Different people are talking about it. I'm not going to lie. I like my version better. But whatever the fuck it is now, I'm like... Okay.
I think it is what it is. Theory woke is actually a good thing and something that we would all want to be, but like you're saying. In theory. No, I think it's turned into this other thing where there's really no empathy and people are just really strongly in a lane that.
And using it against.
Isolates. Yeah.
And using it against of what it was actually supposed to be.
Totally. Yeah, it almost it's like it
became negative.
It's kind of what they're doing, but they do that with everything. I think that's where the power is, right? It's like right now with like the no king stuff or whatever. Like now there's people that are actually getting under it and like now pointing it to seem like the opposite of what it is. And that's just what's going to keep on happening to everything. Anything good we try to like have or any sort of awakening sort of like effort to be like, yo, like wake up. It will somehow be turned into something else. I mean...
We can't have nothing.
And also, I think people also fall for it, you know? People fall for the division. People fall for the nitpicking. There's all this purity politics where it's like, mm-hmm. you might be on the right thing, but, oh, you messed up 10 years ago. You said something stupid, and now you can't be the spokesperson. So it's like, nobody can. Nobody can be a leader. Nobody can be a spokesperson. Nobody can help because, you know, the internet just constantly is fucking attacking, and it's... It's sad. So I don't know where the fuck we're going. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm like, the state of the world, I mean, the best thing sometimes is to be delusional. Obviously, we have to be present and we have to show up and we have to speak up about issues and we have to do the things we need to do. But on your free time, be as delusional as you can about where your life is going because that's all we have sometimes.
Yeah. It's also just called imagination. Like, to dream. It's hope. Yeah. Delusional. Dreaming.
Right. Honestly. Do you think that Sábado is... touching on some of those themes?
Absolutely. Sábado is talking about so many different things, but I did it in like a happy,
playful
way.
Yeah.
Because I've made the sad songs and I've made the angry songs and people don't want to hear that, you know, people. So I was like, okay, bitch, like, let me give you this, you know, make it digestible for you so you can understand that I understand the colorism, the racism, the things that the proximity to whiteness that some families in Latino community want, the anti-blackness that we have, the homophobia, the you know, the abuse, the sexual abuse, the covering of so many different abusers, but then having a problem with me being gay, like all that type of stuff is things that it's like you. How did I neatly package it all into something and also talk about which one of us could have voted for Trump? Because it could have been anybody. Mm-hmm. You can't tell physically who did it. You can't tell by how they act or what they post. Because sometimes there's some people that secretly just wanted this chaos. And it's happening. And now there's a lot of people that kind of back out and they're like, you know, I didn't do it. Like, or I didn't know this is what it was going to be. But it's like the signs were there, you know. And also maybe you just didn't believe us because we don't look like what you wanted, you know, the person to look like.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sábado to me is like, it's a fun way of doing it. I have my fun ways of explaining certain things, but then I also just kind of have my rap, angry, sad things, you know?
There are people, I think, who live on, we all live on different levels in this world of awareness. And I think that when you're a higher level of awareness being, it becomes an unspoken responsibility in a way to share your perspective, but not be like shoving it down people's throats.
Because spoonful of sugar.
We all know those people. So I think that when you are able to just plant the seeds of truth or awarenesses or things in this world that you have had the veil pull up on, and then you're seeing a different, you know, you're seeing patterns, you're seeing ways of behavior, you're seeing the game being played, you then get to share it in a creative way, in a way where, like, there are probably people who could listen to Sábado and it would just go right over their head, and they're just like, oh, it's sick, it's cool, it's like, it's a big house party, and like, look at this. And then there are other people who are going to be like, oh, I'm really downloading, like, a message.
But that's also the sign of a good lyricist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, Big Sean is kind of like that, obviously. Cole is like that as well. So there are some amazing lyricists out there that, one, don't subscribe to pop hip hop, that really do know how to flip the script and, like she was saying, download the truth from a higher vantage point because they vibrate differently.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of your superpower.
Thank you.
Who are your musical inspirations?
I mean, I think she mentioned a lot of them. I was definitely from the same cloth of just like listening to Brat and Missy and Eve and Kim and Trina, Shauna, like when female rap was like, it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, golden
I feel
years.
Like, yeah, I listened to Big Pun and, you know, obviously Biggie and Pac.
Remy
and
Ma.
Like Remy Ma, Ludacris, Wayne. Like, these are all artists that, like, Andre 3000, like, I definitely was in my Outkast. Like, I feel like listening to artists back then, there was just so many places, like so many different styles and everybody, you know, and it was so collaborative and it was dope. And the women, you know, you can hear your four favorite women on one track and it was dope, you know, whereas nowadays, I mean, sometimes it just does suck that it just becomes this like kind of pitting everybody against each other. But that's what happens when corporations get a hold of something good.
Totally.
You know, it's like it becomes... whatever, you know, yeah. It's like private equity buying up, you know, your favorite restaurant, and now they have smaller portions and, like, different recipe, and you're like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
Chipotle is McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. I also think that the silver lining right now is that creatively, I can exist in my farm, you know, doing my podcast, doing my music, doing whatever, shooting my video. Sábado, I did everything right there and at my place and, you know, and put it out into the world, and if people resonate with it, cool, and if they don't, you know, I move on to the next, and they'll get it when they get it.
Exactly.
And I think that's the power of the internet right now, is like, you know, you could just keep doing it, keep creating, keep doing what makes you happy. And for me, when I'm being creative, I'm happy. When I can't release music, when I'm stuck, the level of depression is insane. So keeping me alive right now is literally like just creating and being happy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I just want to switch the topic before. I know she's about to do a quick little thing, babes. You might have one last question.
Yeah.
But you can't listen to it.
Oh.
Close your ears.
Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to get my wife a grill. Where'd you get yours from, bro?
I'm dead. Atlanta, actually.
Really? Let me see.
Yeah, I'm a dude.
Ebony,
why
do
can't
it?
I listen?
I'm dead. Yeah. I got
Ebony
you.
Did it?
No.
Oh.
No. But
I'm trying to get her one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Babe, you like her grill or not?
I'm dead.
Well, imagine if I didn't, and I was like, no.
Oh.
You're like, I actually hate it. You're like, the craftsmanship could have been better.
I'm
dead.
Nice. I want one. Shinier. Why did you put my ears up?
Because you won't let me buy it for you just out the line. I'm trying to find her.
Oh, wait. What? She's needed for it. Don't you got to get more?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know, but I got to, like, find the right thing. Like, I need to scope it out. I had to see which one where you
like
went to. But Atlanta does have
things.
Good grills.
Yeah. And my dude's actually, this one, I just felt these things. My dude's in Texas, actually. But, yeah, I mean, in Texas, you know, with grills, has a big history.
Yeah, it does.
The grill that I wanted is less of a grill and more, like, tooth art. It's, like...
Oh, like gems and shit?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a gem, necessarily, because it is, like, a... retainery in the mouth.
She's not saying that the gym is like you hold gems inside of it. I think she wants the cutout of the heart.
A little bit simpler.
Oh, okay, okay.
Than like a full. Let me see yours fully.
Just fire.
Yeah. No, yours
like
is
a
cool.
little like I get what you're saying. Like an open.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And like kind of an outline of the tooth.
Yeah.
And that.
Those are hard.
Yeah.
That's dope. Okay.
She'll be firing it, right?
Yeah. She's got the dots. She's got that. Like you know. She's
I'm ready. Watch out.
My wife is a mess.
She's gonna rap. That's what's really gonna happen.
Oh, am I gonna rap next?
Drip.
She's gonna rap.
Drip. Drip. Drip.
You think you can defeat us with the tip of your penis? We walk around bleeding.
Yeah.
Come on, baby, just lean in.
Yeah. Drip. Drip. Drip.
Okay.
Drip.
The power in my womb makes these alphas want to swoon. You know?
Are you freestyling?
Yes. The power in my womb makes these alphas want to swoon. But boy, I know better. I ain't fucking with no dick cheese cheddar.
Oh! Drip. 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 Drip.
I'm dead. Drip. Wait, hold on. What is dripping? Because she's
the
talking
blood.
About dick.
The blood. Because we
the
bleed.
The power in the womb. Okay, go again. Let's go again.
Okay. One more time. Off the dome. Drip. 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 Drip.
You think you can defeat us with the tip of your penis. We walk around bleeding. So baby, just lean in.
Yeah, drip. 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 Drip.
Got the power in my womb. Make these alphas want to swoon. But boy.
You know better. You ain't fucking with no dick cheese cheddar. Do you like that?
Do you want to use it? What do you think? Can you rate that on a scale from 1 to 10?
One through 10.
In what? Do I rate them in standards?
Do you like stanzas, not bars?
Yeah.
Yes. In virality?
Yes.
Absolute 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay. In women, in the context and the concept being woman empowerment, 10.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
In hating on guys, 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
I mean, oh, we're not getting a butt? There's no butt in that?
I mean, I think I probably want to hear it. But then again, I mean, I don't have a fucking hit record,
okay.
So y'all got
it's
it.
Okay. No, we don't.
So who the fuck am I?
You know? Are here to no rate LA her. Give her here. Some tips. She give her
I
some have tips.
To, I mean, listen, my heart is
definitely not the tip of the penis.
Right.
I mean, I'm not giving you that, but no. But a tip? Rapping?
Yeah. How do you make it just roll off the tongue? Smooth.
A little more...
From the chest.
Yeah, a little more from the chest. Like a little more conversational.
Okay. Let me try one more time. From the chest.
Let me help you out.
Uncross my legs?
Yeah, ground.
Okay.
Then you can do it.
Okay.
You want to
give her
a swing to it.
Yeah. Ow, just you want to give her relax. You want to give her your rapper name? You want to give her your rapper name?
Give her yours.
No, you give yours first.
Do y'all freestyle at each other? Like when y'all are at home?
All the time.
Listen.
Y'all be. Have y'all ever battled?
My nickname is Tourette's.
And I'm bipolar.
Nice.
Okay, go.
Drip, 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 drip.
You think you can defeat us with the tip of your penis. We walk around bleeding, so baby, just lean in.
Yeah, drip, 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 drip.
Got the power in my womb, make these alphas want to swoon. But boy, I know better. I ain't fucking with your dick cheese cheddar.
Hey, there you go.
I ain't fucking with no dick cheese cheddar.
There you go. That, right?
Listen, I'm already on my period. Do not make me laugh.
I'm dead. I mean.
Was that better? Do you like the cheddar?
Yeah.
Ish. Tell her the truth. Do not be up in here. I'm gonna tell you my truth. Babes,
here's the truth.
To be a white girl.
Yeah.
And not that other white girl who was a rapper for 6 months. I didn't say it, you did. I think you were okay. I'm not mad at it. I think
I mean,
it was
I'm
creative.
I'm not a fucking rapper, man.
Yeah. No, like, babes. I think it was creative and I like that you are telling them how you feel right now. So I'd agree with Snow that female empowerment, 10. Swag, you need to work on it.
You know what? There are white people, and then there are people who are born white. And I was a person who was born white.
I get
all
that.
I'm going to say.
I
so
get that.
It just sucks.
I'm dead. I have so many questions for y'all.
Please.
But I mean, maybe I'll have to.
No, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Why?
I mean,
first one is why.
No.
Why?
No, like, mm-hmm. That's dope. So back to the you guys freestyle at each other. Like, how, like in y'all's relationship, like, do you guys, is it more fun? Because I know you were talking about toxic and shit. Like, do you guys have fun? Do you guys?
She's not really toxic. I just had said earlier in the podcast, I was like, oh, the best toxic because of your
Yeah, no,
dog.
I heard what you said.
Yeah. So she, I'm just clearing that
I,
up for
I listen.
Yeah.
My wife has really been unlocking her body. And you might be wondering, what the fuck does that mean?
That means a lot of white people don't have rhythm, okay? And I think it's because they are stiff. They don't really connect to their body as much as they should. My wife is really starting to, like, understand what grounding means, understand what speaking with her chest means, mm-hmm. understand what it's like to not talk back.
Oh, damn.
Because white people do that sometimes.
She's that, like, sounds great. You know that sounds crazy. Not talk back is crazy.
But you know, yeah, what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying.
But you know the internet streets.
No, I know. But there's something
the
to
the internet
it.
Loves her. Don't worry. This will fall on me.
There's something. No, it's not going to fall on you, babe.
It will.
There's something to just taking it and being like, I'm going to hold that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of, but. And I think with her learning different cultures and sitting in it, she's able to be like, oh, I get it a little bit more. So her shoulders calmed down. She started speaking with her chest. She got a little tan, to be honest with you. And so the other day she came into the house, she came into the room that I was in, and she was like, I was like, babe, I'm on period. And she started this song. And she was just like this, and her body was moving, but it wasn't. It didn't look like a Chumbawamba move. It looked like, you know, a J-Lo move, actually. I'm going to be 100 with you. And I was like, yes, hips, let's go. And she just kept rolling off the dome. I was like, okay.
Nice.
Okay, look at you.
In tune.
She felt it. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay. And then she said that. She said some of the words in that. And I was like, okay, well, let's, like, move this here and move that there and, like, mm-hmm. use this, put the emphasis on this syllable instead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I say alphas. Swoon instead of alpha swoon.
I was like, you gotta not say alpha swoon. Like, that doesn't work.
But even in those notes, like, your tone, you're right. You know, I get it. I see it. And you're absolutely right. I do think that sometimes that but, like, all that. And what, because I have a lot of white friends and I've been telling them the same thing. I'd be like, listen, right now we can't make it about your emotions and how angry you are about what's happening. I get that, and we get that, and we're angry too, but we don't get to talk about our anger. You're talking about your anger, and now instead of us talking about the situation, now we're talking about your anger and your and your emotions, and so you're kind of taking it away from. So that's why sometimes I do feel like I get it, and I understand, but let's keep it on this, and it
on topic.
It is, and it's a good thing. I feel like it shouldn't feel as an offense as much as it's like, yo, like, so you can understand where we're coming from, so we all understand where we're coming from, so we can get there together, you
and
know?
get through the end of this situation, then we can come back and talk about the feelings,
you
emotions,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, become a lot. And then it's like, but you don't get it. I feel sad, and it's like, no, I get it. I'm fucking sad. I've been sad for a couple years about it. But listen to me right now, because I, you know, sometimes people will tell me what's going on with my people, and then they want to sit there for half an hour and tell me how bad it makes them feel, and I'm like, I get it, and I'm not one to sit there and double down on white guilt. Like, I don't. It's fine. I get it. Thank you so much for feeling it. Let's talk about what's going to help out the situation
exactly,
right now.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, so we don't need any more white saviors, but what we do need, we don't, because that's a whole thing. And I can't
it
even
is a real
speak.
Thing.
I can't
yeah,
speak.
No, I get it.
I don't know what to say right now about the white people, because again, there's white people and then people who are born white, and it's just, it's a thing. I'm not defensive. I don't care.
Oh,
I also,
you're loved white
thank
person.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I also wish that I could be a better rapper.
I genuinely like, let's make this about the rap part.
I'm going to make this about me being a rapper really quickly, because I do wish there is truth, though, to when you're in alignment, you can speak just more effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think that what I learned, even just practicing this little rap with you, was there is a way of being more relaxed in it. That was your first note to me. Like, be chill, be confident, be calm, conversational, mm-hmm. and not confident. But when you are those things, you appear more confident because mm-hmm. you appear in control. And then having kind of that smoothness of getting your point across is so wonderful. And it's almost as smooth as me asking you to go into that teapot and tell us what our topic is today.
Oh, damn.
For tea time. Drip, drip.
You know that
drip.
She practiced that shit. All
I love and
that.
I fucked it up.
No,
and I still
it
couldn't.
Good.
Do
you,
it
no,
right.
no, no. She was just supposed to go into it
today on the podcast. What are we talking about?
Misogyny.
Ooh,
we've kind of talked about misogyny for a little bit already,
right?
Have you ever,
imagine I couldn't read?
You're like,
and you guys are like, what are we talking about? I'm like,
no, you're fine, Fantasia.
What if you said misogyny? Yeah. Have you ever received any unsolicited advice from a man? And you're just like,
that's my entire life.
Right.
That's my entire
Tell
life.
Tell us about it.
I feel like the reason right now, right? Like I have no label, manager, nothing. Like, it's literally like from upload, everything is like me and like my brother and my girl and like whoever's at my house whenever we're doing all this stuff. And the reason is because sometimes like men, instead of just being like, yo, you know what? You did get it all the way here. Like, you've got your fan base. They know, you know what they want, blah, blah. It's like, as soon as a man gets involved, it becomes this, like, their, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They need to, like, you know what you need, what I'm going to do for you and you, and you're my artist. And, mm-hmm. and it just becomes this thing where it's like, it would be nice to have, to be able to move through the music industry. And okay, cool, bro. If you got that big, bro, like, cool. But then also take the L's. The problem is sometimes they'll do all that. And then when it's an L, it's like, oh, well, you did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And you, it must have been because you. So sometimes it's like, I don't, getting advice from men on how to be a woman or like mansplaining.
Ooh, that's a crazy, that's a crazy yeah. sentence. Just stop right sentence. There. Because yeah. that happens so much.
Yeah.
A man explaining to a woman how to be a woman is literally society from the start. Here's what you need so to put true. On your feet. Here's what you need to put around your titties. Here's what you need to look like. They have been dictating the woman look and thought process since the mm-hmm. beginning of time. And as soon as you find a strong woman, a Cleopatra, you know, Princess Diana.
But not Diana was my God. Are you kidding me?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
The amount of pressure and oppression that she lived under because of
yes. not even,
I mean, I guess men, but a monarchy. I mean, that's...
But that's what I'm saying. But she did that, and then she popped out because she's strong, and she did against what the crown wanted by mm-hmm. shaking people's hands. That's what I'm saying. I'm calling mm-hmm. out these women that were extremely strong mm-hmm. underneath the misogynistic tone of society in general. So that sentence was crazy. Fire. Pew, pew, pew.
Thank Joan you. Of Arc.
No, yeah, I mean... Exactly. Men explaining to women, men mansplaining things that we already understood. If anything, sometimes a mansplaining situation is like you actually just took like the soul from what it was. But then also the women that fell for it, right? The amount of hate that you get from women
crazy.
That have women being pick-me's that took the bait when it comes to men and mansplaining and how needed men are in our life, you know, like women that center men. Sometimes that's so dangerous because it's like when you're trying to just do your own thing or just explain, just live without necessarily needing the approval of men. Now you're going to have men attacking you and women that think you're wrong for not needing the approval of men and wanting you to go back to whatever they said. So it kind of almost feels like there's less of us. There's less women that are not male centered than there is the rest of the fucking world, you know, or men that even are like, good job, girl. There is guys out there, you know, there's
for
good
sure.
girl dads that are like, go ahead, girl. Like, I want my daughter to be like that. And I love that. I love to see that. I'm not some man hater, but I feel like people need to allow women to talk to women about women issues and about women things without a man getting involved, without the bottom line being involved, without the money of it all being involved, just what actually matters to women, what we need. Because we would make better leaders. We would be able yeah. to come from a place of, at the end of the day, when you see all these red pill dudes that are all angry at the world and whatever, it's like, bro, they need nurturing. They need a mom. They needed somebody that like a strong woman to be able to tell them. And instead they had a weak woman. So then they think that the answer is going around treating every other woman like she's weak. And it's like, it's not my fault. Your mom was bitch made and now she made a bitch made son.
Damn.
Now we got to sit here and live with you being annoying because your mom couldn't stand up to your dad.
Mm.
Like, so I think we need more strong women, and strong women, if you're out there, please. Please do it.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. I've witnessed the man who grew up with an overbearing mother who did not allow their son to live in his healthy masculinity
mm-hmm.
because she herself was either mentally ill or, you know, delusional or whatever it was. Definitely narcissistic in the situation that I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
which creates that abusive man who has so many dreams but can't reach it himself, so then uses the woman to do it mm-hmm. and then takes it away from the woman once she started it.
Oh, yeah.
Those men are crazy because...
It's happened time and time again with inventions where men always yep. take the credit for something great that a woman did mm-hmm. and then they always try to... Sometimes guys or even women, because I'm not even just going to put it on guys, even in relationships, there's times where somebody will feel like they're not as enough for this person, so their whole job is just to constantly like... you know, like cut them down
mm-hmm.
every time. And they're always in constant competition with their partner. And I think sometimes that does happen to men or women who are in a relationship with a woman and they're with a strong woman or they're with a smart woman or somebody who like, you know, has a lot of people like liking them, that person kind of keeps on having to like push that person down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that sucks, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, so can misogyny be a female thing too? Is that kind of what you're saying? in a way.
Well, I was gonna say is
yeah.
What about women?
There's misogynistic lesbians for sure.
Yeah,
but not even lesbians, but just women who don't support women, because they're. Is I would like to know your take on this in the hip hop world. Like, do you feel like most women are supporting other women, or is it more of a competition and kind of tearing people down?
Before you answer, I just want to say, when you watch a female, sorry, because my head. When you see a female rapper, especially the ones, let's say, in the top five, look at the crew. No other women in the crew. It's just them, and they are just surrounded by men. That's crazy to me. Sorry, baby. Where is the rest of the women in the field? Why is it just that one?
It is very telling when women don't have other women in their crew, because why? There's a lot of women out here that are engineers, that are graphic designers, that are lawyers, that are, you know, managers, that are doing a bunch of different things. And also when it comes to women supporting women, I mean, I think when women only support other women when it's clout-based and it's not actually like, oh, this is talent, I actually want to support, you know what I'm saying? That type of stuff, but it's a business. I don't fucking know. At the end of the day, I think the music industry becomes a reflection of what the world is like now. And I do think there's a lot of times where women rather gossip about each other, nitpick at each other, instead of just like be like, yo, you know what? Hell yeah, like I support that. Not all women, because there are women who support women. But I think we need to continue empowering women, and it doesn't need to have this negative connotation of like, oh, you're empowering women, you're a man hater, you're a feminist, you're just being all this. It's like, no, empowering, like support women more. Every time you see, you know, somebody, you know, starting their small business, like give it a like, give it a share, give it a comment, like every little thing helps. And it's like, I like to try to help out as many, especially, you know, right now everything we're going through, like somebody's like the little grandmas that have jobs or businesses or whatever. It's like, you know, I always, wherever you are, it doesn't even matter how much it is. It's like over tip the lady in the bathroom, you know, the person that just sold you that cup of fruit. Like, you know, treat it like you do if you were to go to a fancy restaurant and your tip is like $800. Like, why can't you give that person that extra whatever, you know?
Yeah. Extra tahini, extra tips.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, shit is delicious.
Extra limon.
Overall, in general. Women, you know, I think it's beautiful to support us, and stop being so male-centric and male-centered. It goes right back to the conversation we were talking about earlier. A lot of times these women, if they weren't so up the guy's ass, they would actually get more respect out the damn guy. So maybe, yes, maybe it even helps you in your personal journey or in your personal relationship to be like, yo, like, fuck yeah, I want to support this girl. I wanted this, I wanted that. And then your boyfriend's like, what, really? I don't listen to female rappers. It's like, well, it's not about you right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not about you right
now. It's not
about
you.
I wonder how much of the hate that goes on between women is through the lens of the male eye, if you will, because how much of that has been set up for us to then believe that's the norm. Because something that I was really surprised by was the amount of hate I saw online from women towards other moms. Mm-hmm. And there was this huge thing about just like women tearing down mom. This is not how I parent. That's not how you should do this. This is instead of supporting or being more compassionate or maybe trying to like offer a helpful suggestion of like, this is what worked for me. If it resonates with you, try it. But instead just kind of tearing people apart. And I understand that there is, I think the mom thing is one bracket, and that women are really, really judgmental towards other moms, where dads can be just like kind of glorified for showing up in, you know, the simplest
they show
of ways.
Up once.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, he's an amazing father. But then there's also just that whole layer of competitiveness and comparison. And, you know, if you're like a particularly attractive girl, how much hate you'll receive from other women because of jealousy. And what, I hear you over here wanting to say something.
Yeah, I'm watching this show called Poldark, and it's based in like the 1600s or something stupid. And the female's position in society was always about competition, of finding the best person. And they had to look the best because they had to get married before they turned 19. Yeah. They had minimal men with power and money to choose from. So they created rumors to put other women down so that they could succeed.
Crazy.
And the society that grew made this one, which is no, me, look at me. Ugh, she's a mess, blah, blah, blah. Why does she dress like that, blah, 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 in front of the guys that they like or whatever so that they can look better. It's just how we've been positioned in society because of the male organization of it all.
Yeah.
When women do come together, things change.
Yeah.
But we have to stop the unconsciousness, the unconscious behavior that we all do, because there are not a lot of places for women in society. So we're trying to climb to the top.
It's going to be within us, right? Mm-hmm. Women, like, we have to support each other, because it's also bad for business, right? Yeah. It's bad for business for us to actually be accepting of each other and not nitpick each other and not gossip and not whatever, not tear each other down for our appearance. Why? Because if you love your hair, they can't sell you a million products for your hair. If you love your skin, they can't sell you a million beauty products for your skin. If you love the way you look without makeup, they can't sell you all that stuff. If you're fine with dressing, you know what I'm saying, in a t-shirt and jeans, and you're like, I'm beautiful the way I am, they can't sell you the waist trainers and the bras and the this and the that, and they just came up with a brand new way for you to look better, for appealing to who? To, you know what I'm saying?
Pube, like, Skims underwear,
right? Like, it's like shave it off, no, fake one, no, put it on, no, you know. Yeah. And you're just like, bro, what do you, you know? I think at the end of the day, if the best way to stick it to the patriarchy and all the things that happens is just through love of other women, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not telling you all to be lesbians, but what I am saying
I would say try it.
Try it out. J-Lo, just try it. It might be that. No, but yeah, I mean, just supporting, love, you know, finding community. That's it. To me, you know, I think, like I told you before, like, I am trying to figure out what the fuck makes me happy, you know, overall. Like, obviously, I have everything. I feel blessed. I have a beautiful wife. I have a, you know, wonderful kid. I have, you know, a good career to where, like, I have enough people that love me. I don't need more for me to be grateful, right? Mm-hmm. I have it. But what will continue making me, like, strive for more and, like, be happy is, like, just literally trying to find ways to find more community. If I already have a certain amount, more community, more people that are like-minded, more people that, like, understand each other so that we can just exist without having to exist within the industry that has already been created, within the music or the TV film industry. Just having our own little fucking corner of the world where we can exist and we're happy, and community. And that's all I love.
Well, I want to cheers and I want to toast. We normally do a toast, but before we do the actual one, I just want to cheers to you and your partner for bringing a life into this world.
Thank you. Well, we're trying, you know, God willing.
Either way, just bring it on.
You're going to do it.
You're going to do it. I know you are.
You got it, babe.
You got to live in delusion.
No, and Stephanie got it.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
Toast. Cheers.
Thank you.
Today on the podcast, we are toasting to Carrie Russell's hair.
Carrie Russell's hair!
Do you know who Carrie Russell is?
No.
She is an actress, and she was in Felicity, and she is now in a show on Netflix called The Diplomat.
She was in The Americans, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Carrie Russell starred as Felicity Porter in the WB drama Felicity.
My childhood.
And her big, natural, curly hair in season one became instantly iconic.
Beautiful.
In season two, Carrie Russell cut off her signature curls into a short pixie cut, and the fan/media reaction was massive.
The beginning of cancel culture.
Some even blamed the show's ratings. Also, men probably hating her haircut. Some even blamed the show's ratings drop on the haircut, and the network president even ended up having to speak on it. The Warner Brothers president.
Speaking on a woman's choice to cut their hair.
People still bring it up on lists of most shocking TV moments or worst mistakes in TV history, even though it was just a haircut. Her haircut opened up a conversation about women's appearances and autonomy on screen. And now, in The Diplomat, people are still coming for her hair because they think it looks messy and not put together.
But the fact that she is acting her ass off is not the main conversation. The fact that she has been consistently working since the early 2000s and before, because I think she was on Disney, too. I think she was a Disney kid. Like, Mickey Mouse Club.
Whoa,
she's been working a long time, and all y'all want to talk about is her curls. Listen, I do, too. The curls were sexy.
We should talk about Snow's hair, though. Look at your hair.
You got curls?
And I'm into girls with curly hair, so.
That part.
Period.
There you go.
Period with the curls, but at the same time, like, let a woman do whatever she wants. It's like, men can go out here and be whole-ass abusers and go to jail and then come out and have a completely perfect career, but he's cute. Whereas her, that's still fire.
She looks, look at her. Those
and
curls.
I know she'd be feeling free whenever she'd be washing her hair.
Yeah, she does.
Look
she
how
really
pretty
does.
She is.
I love Carrie.
She's pretty either way. Look at that skin.
She's
gorgeous
fantastic.
Skin. Yeah. Look how natural she is.
Carrie, we love you.
We love you, Carrie.
Carrie, are you a lesbian?
We're just J-Lo? Down here.
Are you?
Back to J-Lo. Back my to hair. J-Lo. Oh, my orange hair. Yeah.
Yeah, your hair.
Why'd you change?
I change it all the time.
Love it. Yeah, you were pink. You were orange. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Wherever the, you know. I think understand. Because I always, like, I kind of dress the same. I always wear black. Like, I kind of always, I mean, today I'm not, but it's because.
It's dark enough.
Well, I was going to match with my girl, and then she changed.
Oh.
Like, I am the one that kind of, like, I'll see what she's wearing, and I'll, like, try to, like, match.
Don't point it.
But.
Don't.
You're like that.
I walk downstairs first. You be coming down after me.
No, you always ask me what I'm wearing because you think about how we look next to each other. It matters, though.
It matters.
You don't? No, I think it matters. I also am big on, like, airport clothes. Like, damn. If the... Really? I'm dead.
We got to chop it up.
You know? Like, yeah, like... Yeah,
yeah, the fit is crazy at the airport.
Yeah,
I got the backpack.
And if we don't look together as a unit, like, if we're not
traveling,
we're all
together.
Over the place, like,
no, you got to come over.
Yes, I've dated, like, sorry, babe, not to talk about my, but, like, yeah, like, if when you go there and then they're, like, looking at, you're like, oh, girl, come on, like, we got to fucking do better than this. We're looking crazy. And then you got bags of different colors and then things are falling and you're like,
babes.
Wow, you guys are made for each other.
I literally bought
the same language.
Oh, we gotta have a conversation after this. We haven't. Is a serious.
Yes,
airplane clothing is a serious offense.
Yes,
if you don't do it right.
Yeah,
the K-pop universe knows it, and Americans need to adopt it.
Mind you, like I say, like I'm a mess everywhere, but there's certain little things that I'm like. This
detail
though,
oriented.
This is where we need to be together. And so yeah, with her, like yeah, I was like, babe, listen, I'm sorry, I know this is weird, but. And she got it though.
That's fair. You know?
And she be looking great, right? Your airport stuff be great.
You got.
But she did change today. That was not what you were gonna wear. I would have wore all black. Anyway, back to my hair. Yeah, that's why the hair is different.
You got it. Because that's your only thing that you're really doing. Is your pop of color.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I do my makeup the same every fucking day. My clothes, you know, it's like my hair is the only thing that kind of changes. And that's cool.
You gotta have that one thing.
You know?
Thank you so much for coming on, Snow.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed you.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I liked it too, man. I feel like, you know, I mean, if you ever want to go on my little podcast, it's a little different. It's dramatic and it's anxiety, but.
Do you want me to rap?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, if you want to. The studio is literally like, my podcast is here and right there is the studio. So don't tempt me because I'll set it up.
Oh,
I've done an all auto-tune podcast before where it's the entire podcast is in auto-tune.
She's going to show up in her Solomons thinking that she's fire. Oh, let's go.
I'll pull you up a lowrider.
Thank
it's at
you.
My house.
I love a lowrider.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're going to do it.
Let's go.
You're going to look like Gwen Stefani by the end of the fucking.
Up, yes, let's do it. I will be living my best self. Drip.
Let's do it.
Drip. Drip. Let's go.
Everyone.
I'll introduce you to the goats. Maybe next time they're pregnant. You know,
oh my God. All the colostrum for me.
You guys, perfect. Thank you so much for watching Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. We had a fantastic guest on today by the name of Snow the Product. Please check her out. Where can they find you?
Everywhere. Just Snow the Product. THA, by the way, because if you do THE, it ends up on a porn site. They didn't do that. Somebody did that.
Well,
sorry.
Hey.
THA.
And then open the next window and put
right.
THE. Anyway.
And then you'll get cocaine. And then it'll be a whole thing.
God damn.
Whoa,
yeah.
Damn.
Okay. It was quick. It's just said porno.
It's just awesome.
Listen, if you really liked this, if you loved this video, don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And don't forget to tell your mama about it, because you never know what we're going to talk
your
about.
Your mom's going to love this episode.
Oh, she's going to die.
Your white mama is going to love this episode.
Comment
to your mom.
Comment down below if your mama liked it. And don't forget to check us out next week. And don't forget that Miranda Moments is still out here in these streets.
And don't forget, I'll be dropping stanzas.
No, you won't.
I'll be dropping verses with Snow.
Bars, but you Snow, do stanzas.
Snow and I have a new album released.
The escalation of it.
Yeah, the mixtape.
Cut the show.
Oh my God.
Cut it. We're done. You're done. Bye.